when you come to this subject, the return of Jesus, it causes a lot of questions. People may ask, when will Jesus return? How will he return? What happens when Jesus returns? What happens to those who have died in Christ? What happens to those who have died apart from Christ? Those are all valid questions surrounding end time events, and there's nothing wrong with having questions. Thank God we have a book that helps gives us those answers.
Hello everyone, this is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a teaching message that I shared with our congregation on a Wednesday evening at Holt Assembly of God. This message is part one of a message entitled Our Blessed Hope. Paul tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first, receiving their glorified bodies, and we who are alive will instantly be changed and caught up in the clouds together to be with our Lord. What a glorious day that will be, and I pray that no one misses the promised blessed hope. My hope for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
We're going to talk this evening about our blessed hope. And when you think of that term, blessed hope, what does that mean? What is our blessed hope? The resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in Christ and their translation together with those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord is the imminent and blessed hope of the church. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, that's our blessed hope, the return of Jesus. So when you come to this subject, the return of Jesus, it causes a lot of questions. And there were a lot of questions in the early days of Christianity, and there's still a lot of questions today. People may ask, when will Jesus return? When will he return? How will he return? What happens when Jesus returns? What happens to those who have died in Christ when Jesus returns? What happens to those who have died apart from Christ when Jesus returns? And those are all valid questions. Many of us have questions surrounding end time events, and there's nothing wrong with having questions. Thank God we have a book that helps gives us those answers, amen, that fills in the blanks for us. And so there are many valid questions concerning the return of Jesus. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and let's look at the second scripture here. And it says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. When we think of that scripture there, and we think of the verse we read in Titus, those are two of the foundational scriptures that form our belief in the blessed hope. When Paul's writing this, there's several perspectives I think we need to look at when we're looking at these verses. There's a ministering perspective, there's a theological perspective, and then there's a practical application. It's a perspective of how to apply what we've learned, what we've heard. Those are three perspectives we're going to look at here this evening. Number one is this. The first perspective is the ministering perspective. And that's this. Paul is bringing, there's a couple words that are key when you read through the verses that we just read in 1 Thessalonians. What do you think Paul is, what's the ministering perspective? What is he trying to speak to these people as he writes this letter, as he writes these verses? What do you think is the ministering perspective? What's he trying to do for these people? The perspective is one of comfort and hope. One of comfort and hope. There were concerns about those who had died in Christ, and the reason why there was concerns, because in the early days of Christianity, there was the belief that Jesus was coming, and he's coming the next moment. They had that imminent belief that Jesus was coming at any moment. And so this was a dominant theme in early Christianity. And by the way, it should be a dominant theme today, in today's Christianity. But they really had this sense that Jesus could come at any moment. So what has happened in the early years of Christianity, You've had those who have put their hope in Christ, and then they have died a physical death. They begin to wonder what happens to the people who have died, because their belief was they're not going to die. Jesus is going to come before that even happens, and he's going to take them. He's going to be rejoined to him. So that was a dominant thought. So you had these people who had these questions about what happens to those folks who die in Christ. I have a couple hobbies, and one is I like to, I like to research dead people. I don't know why. That's my hobby. I like to research dead people, specifically my family history. But often I'll get to that place where you'll find a headstone of a relative, and you're standing there, and I often think about this person that I share DNA with. Most of the time it's a person that I've never met. It's a person who has died years before I was ever thought of. And so I stand there, I think of, where is this person at in eternity? There's a body here in this grave, but where is this person in eternity? Even though I share a common DNA with them, do I share a common spiritual DNA with them? Are they a person who was born of the Spirit? Or is this a person that's buried in this grave? I'll see their headstone, but I'll never see them in eternity. It's one of those things that just causes me to pause. 6 feet below my feet are the remains of an ancestor that I may or may never see and never meet. And so that body, though, if that person is a believer, that body that is sown into the ground, it has the promise of a resurrection, that it was sown perishable, but it will resurrect imperishable. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul talks about that event that takes place where Jesus will descend out of heaven and the dead in Christ will rise. It's a limited resurrection. Sometimes people get confused when you use the term resurrection. Sometimes we say a resurrection, and we say it like there's only one, but there's more than one resurrection. If you remember, when Jesus rose, there was a resurrection in the city of Jerusalem, was there not? Was there not many people? So there was a resurrection. We believe that those were probably mostly Old Testament saints who are waiting for Christ by faith. And so that's a resurrection that's taken place. It was a limited resurrection. At the rapture, at the blessed hope, there will be a limited resurrection of the dead in Christ. And then the resurrection that we think of is the resurrection where there is a judgment. If you think about it, there's more than one resurrection, but we tend to focus on that last one when there's a resurrection and there's judgment. At the rapture, there's a limited resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise. There's many questions in what happens to those who are not in Christ. So I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But can you imagine, though, someone like me who likes to go through graveyards and stand at headstones, can you imagine what it's going to be like when the rapture occurs? Now, I don't know about you. I think we probably tend to think about this more in the eyes of Hollywood. The way it describes in 1 Corinthians, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I don't even know that if someone is at a gravesite and the rapture occurs and a resurrection takes place, that they'll even be able to notice it. I don't know, because it will happen so quickly. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know. But what happens, think about this, what happens to the dead who are not in Christ? We understand what Paul is saying here for the promise, the hope for the dead who are in Christ, but what happens to those who are dead that are not in Christ? Let's go back to verse 13, because it gives us a pretty good explanation in the very last part of that verse. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who what? Have no hope. Paul kind of gives us a good indication here. The unbeliever has no hope after death. There is no hope for an unbeliever after death. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed to men to die once, but after this, the judgment. One life to live, one judgment. What occurs prior to death determines what happens in eternity. Boy, that's just a sobering thought, isn't it? That what we do in this life, the decisions we make, That the decisions we make to live or not live for Jesus are going to determine what happens in eternity. And once in eternity, there's no changing that course of events. It's determined. In my own flesh, in my own feelings, I'm like, man, that just doesn't seem fair. That just doesn't seem fair. Shouldn't we get a second chance? Shouldn't we get another chance? But the Word of God is very clear. And what happens is we tend to look through the Word of God through the lens of our own flesh, how we want God to do things. But God's Word is very simple. It's very clear. It's very plain. It's not harsh. It's not mean. Listen, God sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. He took our place. You know, I believe this. Any person who is truly trying to respond to God, God will reveal Himself to him. And you say, what about a person that's lost, that's way out in the bush? If they attempt to draw near God, I believe God will do, He'll move all heaven and earth to get to that person, to reveal Himself to them, to give them an opportunity to receive Jesus. Sometimes we look at the truth of God's Word, and we think sometimes it's harsh, that, man, a person who is in eternity, you know, their eternity is set. But the Bible is very clear, and it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And again, what occurs prior to death determines what happens to a person in eternity. Let's look at another verse. I'm going to give you a lot of verses here tonight. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw the great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Here these men, these women, who are going to face the resurrection. Can you imagine this? The resurrection takes place. These folks who have eternally been separated from Christ understand. They have an anticipation of what's going to take place. I believe that once a person is separated from God in eternity, they're going to understand that there's nothing good that's going to happen after this point. The dead are given up, the books are open, and they are judged. At the great white throne, there is no hope. There is no repentance. There is no grace. There is no mercy. There's only judgment. Now, we're all going to be judged. We're all going to stand before a throne, but you want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You want to stand before His judgment seat because, listen, what's written in the books are erased. Our sins are forgiven. Our past is gone. Now, we will stand. We'll have to still stand before the Lord. We'll still have to give an account for our life and give an account for ourselves. And at this place, there is no hope. There is only judgment. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there is mercy. There is grace. So that's the difference between the two judgments. All of us will be judged. Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Those, the unsaved, the unbelievers, those who have died without Christ will stand at this judgment. If we believe our mission is just to bring people to church to hear a pastor preach, we are limiting our effectiveness. Wouldn't it be better for 15 people to go out into the community and share the gospel rather than one person every Wednesday and Sunday trying to win an entire community? It makes no sense. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be we equipped and release the church to do the work of the ministry. Most of the ministry should take place outside of the church. People are dying and they're going to hell. And once they get there, there is no turning back. There is no coming back. When there is no hope, that's what should fuel our fire, is that we should not want any person to stand before this place of judgment. Because here, even the most vile and the most evil and the most gruesome people, think about this, people will say, man, I hope that person rots in hell. Do you really understand what you're saying? Do you really understand do we have really any comprehension of what that means for someone to live eternally separated from God with no hope? I mean, it's truly, when we say that, I don't think we really understand the gravity of hell. I don't think we really, in our today's age, we really have a good understanding of heaven or hell.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.